Hello, everyone. Let me get all hooked up here for you guys.
So I just wrapped up, if you guys don't know, last month we had a challenge, and four accountability groups got picked for a prize where they all got an hour of coaching from me. So we met on Zoom. The whole group could come, and they got to talk about anything they wanted to. And I just finished the last group just now, and I will just tell you, it was so fun. Like, I literally enjoyed every single group. They all came prepared with amazing questions. I got some ideas, and one of the ideas is what I really would like to do, because this came up over and over again in the groups, is just about like tips and strategies and stuff to like run your groups better and all that kind of stuff. So I think in June, I'm going to put together a call specific for accountability groups to come and for me to talk about how do you run your group like a business? Like, what are some of my best tips and tricks? You guys can ask all the questions and all that kind of stuff. And we can just basically just hang out for an hour and brainstorm all things accountability groups. So anyway, it was so much fun for my four groups that participated and came. I appreciate you guys so much. Thank you for coming like bosses to each one of the meetings and just having all your questions ready and stuff. It was so cool. Okay, so tonight we're going to talk and coach on time and organization of your life. I am notoriously known as a planner. I am someone who gets a lot done, who is really good at handling her time and really good at keeping pretty organized in my life. I'm not going to say like if you were to pull open drawers, there wouldn't be some mismatch, but we do a pretty good job of making sure that we have as much of our life organized as possible, and we streamline as much of our life as we possibly can. I am someone who I always think being organized and following your schedule is always on the action line of your models. So if you think about me being like following my calendar, being organized, stuff like that, it always leads from the thought of I have time to do that. Like, I think a lot of times what I notice is people get hosed and they think they don't have enough time to manage their time. They don't have enough time to plan their time. They don't have enough time to get organized. And I'm like, how do you not? If you were to calculate how much time you spend worrying about your time, looking for things, where's my keys, all that kind of stuff, you start understanding how much of your life is wasted thinking you don't have time. I also love the rule, this has helped me in my lifetime, of understanding just how much time I actually have. I always, like, you know, guys, I'm a big believer in if you will track your food, if you will like do your 24-hour plan, if you will make notes around your excuses and your justifications, if you know your thoughts and stuff, the more you know, the more you can see your opportunities to change things. So one of the things that, you know, that I'm a big believer in is tracking my time, like noticing it and seeing it and not thinking that I don't have time. And so what I did a long time ago is I read this in a book, and it talked about we have, usually most of us are sleeping about 8 hours a day. We're working about 8 hours a day. And then we have this like other 8 hours that we don't even realize we have available to us. Most of the time what we do is we get caught up in thinking we don't have enough time. And when I saw that, I was like, fuck, that's so true. I spend 8 hours a day working, sometimes 10 to 12. But even if I spend 12 hours a day working and I sleep 8, there's still time available. We're still looking at 4 to 6 hours a day for Corinne to be figuring her stuff out, to be planning, to be doing all the things. I don't know what book it was in, Betty. I've read 1,000 books. I just saw it somewhere. It may have even been, I don't know if it was a book or a blog article. I am not 100% sure. But at this point in my life, I think I have read, I would bet you I've read, like, my goal this quarter was to read 10 books, and I'm already, I think, through 4. And so, I mean, and we're, you know, well, I was like April, May, and June. And because I read 4 books this last month. So there you go. Anyway, I think it's just, I don't waste time. I never think that I don't have time. I'm always thinking, how can I make the most of my time? Am I making the most of my time? I'm always asking that question. I do a lot of, you guys are getting the self-sabotage course this month. One of the other things that I do a lot of is I ask myself, can I just? I do that all the time. Like when I'm sitting around, like if I have like a project, rather than thinking I've got to do it all or I might as well not do any of it, I'll just ask myself, can I just do this part? Can I just do 15 minutes? Can I just do 5 minutes? I can't tell you how many things I've ended up doing because I will power myself through. Like right before I got on the last call, I've been working on this script for a video and I had 12 minutes. I literally said, can I just write for 12 minutes and see how far I get into it? And I got a whole page done. Like I do that all the time. But most people would say like, well, I only have 12 minutes. So I don't know. Is my sound bad or is that just some of you having sound issues? If it's me, then I will take my headphones off. Let me just do that. Okay. Let me just, people are saying it's you. Okay. Let me just turn
off my, it could just be, does that sound better? I bet that does. Okay. Let me just use the Mac tonight. It may just be my thing is twisted up. I didn't get a chance to unwrap my cord before we get started. So let's do some coaching on time. I just wanted to start off with kind of giving you some mindset stuff. Like asking yourself, can I just, is always such a good thing. I never ever say I'm busy. I just don't. It is the most horrible way to describe your time. No one ever says I'm busy and they feel really good. They usually say I'm busy and they have a little bit of frantic in them or they like it just makes them automatically think they don't have any more time to do anything else. I just never want to put myself in those positions ever. I'm like, I'm scheduled. I've planned for the day. I know everything I need to get done today. That's a way better way to describe life than I'm busy. It always sucks. I've just never met anybody who like walks around feeling really good to be busy. Now, if it feels really good to describe yourself that and you're not having any unintended consequences, go for it. But most people just don't get very much traction there. So can I just is a great way. Understanding I've got 8 hours to sleep. I've got 8 hours to work and I got 8 extra hours. If I want to spend some of those working, if I want to go to 10, great. If I want to go to 12, great. I still got time. I just have always done so much better in my life, always thinking that I've got plenty of time versus sitting around thinking that I don't. And you get to think about your time however you decide to think about it. I just have always gotten better results thinking the other way. Okay, Danny, you're up. Raise your hand if you want to get coached, y'all. Somebody said, thank you for breaking self-sabotage. You're welcome. I'm excited for you guys. It's a good program. Hey.
Hello. How are you? Very well. Thank you for having me today. I'm so appreciative of that.
What are we coaching on?
A daily schedule. I came prepared. So I am in an accountability group called the Slim Shady. Shout out to my girls. If anyone's listening.
I love y'all's names.
The real Slim Shadys. We're all Eminem fans and we're having a lot of fun with the name. So we created this, which if you can't see it, basically it's a future self schedule.
Okay.
And it was after a call that you had on a Sunday. We get together every day, every week at 2 p.m. Pacific time after your calls on Sundays, and we kind of coordinate as a group. But one of the things we did within the last couple of weeks is come up with a future self daily schedule. Okay. So what is my future self doing? And so I have lots of great things. And, you know, I know that you say, just do it, just do it. Look for those 1% and just do it. But I'm having a really hard time just doing it. And I heard you talk about motivation during all in April and just, you know, it's not something that you necessarily have to feel good about, but you need to create it. And I'm getting there. I'm doing so much better. I've been on plan almost all week this week. I am hoping for a good loss this week, but it's just finding, I'm still working. I'm in my office here full-time, 40 hours a week. I work at a school, so we don't get time off. but I'm trying to find how to make this daily schedule happen. More specifically, I get caught up in the intentional movement, the exercise, right?
Okay. So what is it that you're having a hard time doing?
It.
Like, give me one of the it's that you have. But like, you're like, okay, at this point, I need to make
intentional movement. Intentional movement.
Exercise. Like, what is it though? Like, what are you trying to do?
Anything. In April, I tried to do 5 minutes of any intentional movement, whether it's walking the dog, whether it's doing a 5 minute exercise video, whether it's, you know, walking up and down the stairs 10 flights.
So tell me in the moment, like, let's say that tomorrow we're going to walk up and down the stairs like 10 times for 5 minutes, or what, like, tell me why you won't just do it. Like, what's going to go through your head in that moment?
I don't want to. Really don't want to. I don't want to.
Why not?
I don't know.
Well, we'll sit here and wait for you. No one's going anywhere. We have an hour.
I'm not good at it. I'll get out of breath. I'll feel out of shape. The realness of my obesity will hit.
So we know.
We don't want to talk about it.
So it's like, yet again, Corinne's right. It's very important we don't tell ourselves if we don't know, because we always know. Aren't you glad you know, though? That's the real problem. The only reason why you won't do the 5 minutes is because you're going to be forced to think, I'm obese, I'm out of breath. That's the only reason why you don't want to.
That's it.
So if that's all that's standing in the way of you and doing 5 minutes is some thoughts that feel like shit, why not just do it?
Because I'll feel like shit.
No. That's the optional part. You can, like, this is the thing. Now that you know that, oh, when I walk up and down a flight of stairs for 5 minutes, I go ham on berating myself internally. So here's another option. I could just go ham berating myself, reminding myself, but I'm also doing something really good for me.
Yeah. I know it's good for me. I know I need to do it.
But you're not having that conversation in the moment. The problem
in the moment, no.
You're telling me right now. But tomorrow morning when it's time to get on them fucking stairs, all you're telling yourself is like, I'm going to be out of breath. I don't want to do this. That's right. The only conversation you're allowing for.
Correct.
The only time you think about it being good for you is like when you're berating yourself for not doing it. It's too late.
Yeah, you're right. You're always right. That's why I pay you the big bucks, right?
Yes. Yeah, so the empire is built by daddy alone. But this is the thing. I want you to just sit there and tell yourself, I have these thoughts about myself. I'm obese. I'm out of shape. I'm all these things. And I am allowing them to stop me from doing the very things that are going to help fix those. Is it worth it? Or is it better to just, like, get on the stairs and realize I might feel bad about myself, but I can also use this as an opportunity to tell myself something better about myself too.
Right.
And I think that is like a part that a lot of you are missing right now, is that you're going to have shitty thoughts that are going to keep coming in. But the problem is you guys are like, well, that's the terrible part. And I'm like, that's the opportunity to start telling the other story. Use it as the trigger to start thinking something new rather than stopping doing things to make that go away.
So in that moment, make that switch immediately.
Yeah. Otherwise, this is like, I just want you to really hear this, because I'm going to be saying this a lot this next month, is you want the verbal doo-doo to stop, right?
Yes.
The way you're doing it is by stopping doing anything that triggers it.
Correct.
Meaning all the things that are going to help you lose weight.
Correct.
So I beat myself up over being overweight. So I'm going to stop doing anything that'll solve being overweight so I can stop beating myself up. Rather than I am going to do things. And when I start beating myself up, I am also going to tell myself the stuff about my future and who I want to be and the nice things about me. Because what I really want is to be that person. I want to be the person, like, because this is what you all think. I'm going to lose weight and then I'm going to think all this amazing shit about myself.
And I have heard you say that since I was a groupie.
Yeah.
And I have heard you say that. And I know that it's how I'm thinking and how I'm feeling now that is going to be exactly who I am when the weight's gone.
Yeah,
so I'm trying to do that, but by sitting down and not walking up the stairs, I don't even let those thoughts enter the cognitive, right?
Yeah. And the sad thing is they're down there.
Yeah, I'm just like, not reaching it.
Well, this is the problem all of you do. It's like, well, I don't want to know all those bad thoughts. I don't want to have them in my consciousness. I want to keep them tucked away in the unconscious land where they make me sit on my ass instead of going up and down the stairs.
Because I'll listen to you on calls.
Do what?
I'll listen to you on calls. I'll listen to coaching calls live or Facebooks or whatever you're doing. And I think to myself, well, I don't have that much negative self-talk. Like I had you on speaker and my husband goes, Danny, do you do that? Like, do you think thoughts like yourself about that? And I'm like, no, I don't, because I never let them come that far.
Right.
But it's when I journal or when I'm talking to you and you say, okay, and then you pause because you're the pro and you know what you're doing. And I'm like, okay, I have to say something because I don't want to waste everybody's time.
Right.
And it comes up. Yeah. That's all it is. It is, I am scared. You know, I used to be a professional dancer and I competitively, you know, and it's just, I'm not that person anymore. And I want to be that person like this. And so I'll start to do the videos or I'll start to walk the stairs.
When you say I want to be that person, what do you mean?
I want to be able to move my body freely like I used to.
All right. So if you were moving your body freely, what would you be thinking?
This is wonderful. I don't know.
This is important. You need to answer this.
Okay. So if I'm able to move my body freely and I'm not out of breath and I'm not winded, I would think,
No. That's not what you really want.
No.
You want to be able to make your body free. You never said when you, like, now you're putting in all these extra things.
So that's how I envision my future self.
Yeah. But I want you to listen to what I'm saying. Don't let your brain go wild. I want you to keep it super simple.
Okay.
If I was moving my body freely in the future, I'd be thinking and feeling what about myself?
Powerful, strong.
Here I am, powerful and strong.
Feeling energetic, healthy, fit.
Yeah, we get to do that now if we'll just start going up down the stairs. Because you can move your body freely right now.
Okay.
But you have to convince yourself of that. So your brain's already going to like, no, I can't. Because I'm going to be out of breath. And I'm going to be these things. And like, I would almost bet you that when you were a competitive dancer, you like, look, what was your like dance numbers? 5 minutes long?
Well, there were times I'd be on stage for 3 hours. It just depended.
And you were never breathless.
I had
never once breathless.
No, I get breathless.
Yeah. Like, do you see the story though that you like in your mind, you're just like running sprints and be like, it's easy. No, you would still be like, everything that you like, the biggest thing that I need you to break free of is that the fit version of you gets to think nice things about yourself. The fit version of you gets to feel a different way. No, the Danny of today gets to feel those way now while she's getting healthier. Because the version that you're trying to do it as is only keeping your ass on the couch saying going up and down the stairs is going to be too painful.
Yes.
Let me ask you this. When you were a dancer, did you have to practice? Ever?
6 days a week.
Did you ever, was it every single time was like, fuck, I can't wait to go. Yeah, can we get up earlier and go? Can we stay later?
Not all the time. Most of the time.
Hey, did sometimes you not want to?
Yeah, so a lot of, yeah, there were times I didn't want to. Yeah,
yeah, that shit happens when you're thin too. That's not a fat girl problem. You know what that is? That's a human problem. You might as well start right now practicing not doing shit you don't want to do, because when you're thin, I'm pretty sure
you're still not going to want to do it.
Happening. So you might as well get real good at it. Otherwise, what happens if you ain't going to get good at it, you're going to get thin and you're going to use being thin as an excuse to not do shit you don't want to do, and then you're going to gain your weight back.
Yeah.
Now we pay the price of like figuring out that person ahead of time.
Yeah. I need to get some of your C4 and just have the energy to do it. Watermelon flavor.
I will just say C4 gives you a competitive edge on getting up your ass. But seriously, I want you to think about this.
I'm listening.
The moment that you are going to, if it's intentional exercise, let's say we're just going to start with it. You're going to, I want you to think about your list of things that you don't want to do. That you're like, these are the things. I want you to pick just one. And for the next 30 days, it's like, I may not do the rest of them, but this one, I am going to do it. And this month, I'm going to practice doing things I don't want to do. And I'm going to practice berating myself and changing the conversation. Mm-hmm. I want to know all the crap that I think. And the only way I'm going to know the crap I think is to start doing stuff that brings up the crap I think. Because that's my invitation in that moment to be triggered to start changing the conversation. If you take away doing the things that trigger that conversation, you take away the things that are going to change your life. And you'll just keep the old conversation running the show.
Okay.
It's a good call.
Okay.
What are you going to pick?
Well, I'm going to pick movement. While you were talking, I was thinking journal movement. You know what I'd rather not do? Movement. So I'm going to pick movement.
Pick movement. And then the next hack for that is to pick a minimum baseline. Like, you're going to have enough of yourself to overcome. Do not pick, like, you know, become competitive dancer next week. Like, literally, you're going to need to pick stuff. And you're going to need to work through it not being good enough. You're going to need to work through it being hard. It being like, it triggers all my stuff. Like, all of that has to come up so that you can be like, okay, it's good enough, because this month we're proving that we can do it. And I don't want to pick some, like, start with like the minimum that you need to do so that you get into action.
Okay.
And then as the month goes on, you get good at getting into action. You can do more as you want to do more. But the first thing we have to do is we got to get to wanting to do the minimum baseline before we can do more. So we want to cultivate the skill of wanting it. And that's really what you're going to be doing. Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Good call.
I appreciate it.
Bye.
Bye.
Jillian. Her voice is peaceful and calm. I give you that. Hey, Julian.
Hi.
How are you?
I am good. I'm so glad you're here talking about this. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, so I wrote down when you started, I have time to do that in just 5 minutes as things for me to remember, because this whole thing of time management and overwhelm, I put that in quotes, is like, so what I figured out is that's where all of my overeating and overdrinking comes from. And I just wrote it on my journal sheet this morning that I need to look at my overwhelm feelings. Cause I had an off plan eat last night, because I sat down last night to write out my goals for May. Like, I love planning. I love doing my goals. I'm pretty good at like ticking off the list and making them, but every single day, come afternoon, evening, my only thought is like, I have too much to do. I can't possibly get all this done. I don't have time. And so last night I was making my goals, I was writing them out, and I was back into like pre-corona thinking of like, yeah, May, I can do all this stuff. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, but I've been basically on like 50% energy and productivity for the past 6 weeks. And how the heck am I expecting myself to ramp up from legit 4 hours of work a day to 8? And then I just, from there, it just, I was like, oh, that cookie looks good. Like it was literally like, that's exactly what it was.
Yeah. So what do you think the problem is?
I think it's that I set standards for myself that are impossible for me to meet.
Okay. So like each day when you do your plan and stuff, are you like, so you said like, there's no way I can get all this done and all this other stuff. Do you typically finish your day like where you've like, you've had more to do than you've had time?
And I don't get things done, you mean?
Yeah.
I have reined that in the last 6 months and I've been trying to be realistic.
Okay.
And
that's like, right now what's happening though.
Right now, I'm much more loosey-goosey with my daily plan. Like my food plan, I'm good. I got that. But in terms of like the action items that I need to accomplish each day, uh-huh. It's more like I hope to get this done. 50% chance I might not.
Why is there a 50% chance you might not?
I think because I'm allowing myself in this whole time that we're all at home, like I'm allowing myself to not get stuff done.
Why?
And so I have,
so you don't have a time problem. Like, I just want you to make sure you really understand.
Oh yeah. 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 You, right.
Yeah, there's no the time. First part of you described it as if like, I've got so much to do and here's a cookie and like all this other stuff. And so as I'm like parceling it away, it's like, bitch, I ain't got enough to do. She's telling on herself right now. Like, I got stuff to do, but you know, it's very debatable and optional.
Right. And that's why I wrote down your thing about, I have 5 minutes. What can I get done? Cause a lot of times I'll be like, okay, this is going to take me, you know, 30 minutes. And if I don't have 30 minutes with, you know, warm up to get in the mood and all of that, like, forget it. I can't do it. I think that's what it is.
What are you having sex with your to-do list? Like to-do list.
It sounds like
you need to warm mama up if we're going to get some shit done. Like you can't just come in here like the Kool-Aid man thinking we're going at it.
But for my feelings of overwhelm, that's my running thought usually is I will never get this done. And so then I opt for food to like just quiet that down.
Well, what if you just stop thinking that? What if like every time you think I will never get this done, just say I'll either get it done or I won't, but it will be a choice. I mean, sometimes are you wrong? Do you actually get some stuff like when you think I'll never get this done and then do you get it wrong?
Oh yeah.
Okay, then that's why not just every time you think I'm never going to get this done and say, and sometimes I'm wrong about that. Let's see what happens this time.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't know if I think that so that I can light a fire under my butt, you know, to like get going.
Why do you need I want you to just think for a moment about how you're describing time. You're describing getting things done as if you need fires lit under your ass, warm-up periods. You have a lot of expectations around what it takes to just do a task. Like if it was way less dramatic, if it wasn't like, well, you know, and if I don't have enough time, if I don't have that, like if you took all of that away, what would you be doing?
I guess just doing the stuff.
Yeah. That,
yeah,
like, seriously, when it comes to doing things, the hardest part of doing it is taking your own drama away around it.
Yeah.
I can't even begin to tell you guys how many things I do in one day where I have to tell myself, you have to just start. We're not doing anything else. And it's boring as fuck. It's not exciting. There's no warm-up period. There's none of that. The sad truth is that about half the time you're going to want to do stuff and half the time you're not. It's what are you going to do in the not? Are you going to be dramatic about it and like allow yourself to think overwhelming thoughts and do all this stuff? Or are you going to realize there's going to be like 50% of the time I'm not going to want to do things? Like I can talk to you about purpose and aligning and doing all and like manage, like we can do all that. But at the end of the day, unless you accept that half the time you are not going to want to do the things that you need to do, and you're going to need to just do it anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't even, all the purpose and aligning is awesome. I need like the nitty gritty. I need like the sentence. I have time to do that. Like I need the, in the moment when I'm in the trenches, I need the phrase that I can look at and say, oh, that's what I need to say to myself right now. Cause the big purpose doesn't matter at that moment.
Yeah. Well, and the big purpose isn't like, this is what, when I talk about like tying the stuff that you're doing to purpose, we do that like at 6:30 in the morning. And we do it like on Sunday during coffee time. That's when you align purpose so that your subconscious understands at a level. So, cause what's going to happen is you're not going to want to do it. And your subconscious is what's going to drive whether or not you're going to override your wants and desires or not. You're either going to go yes to the, like when we were talking in the last call, it's going to either be a yes, we're going to not do it because we believe we're fat, obese, and out of shape. And that's all we ever really believe about ourselves. And that a little bit won't matter anyway. If all of that is the unconscious programming that you're not unearthing in your journal and in your, you know, away time, then you like you have to know that part. Subconscious drives the show. So, and then what happens is that in that moment of I don't want to, like for me, what drives me to do the 50% of my day that I don't want to be doing is that I know at the end of the day, people depend on me. My ability to show up when I don't want to helps someone lose weight and achieve her dream. So yeah, right now, no, I don't want to write a fucking another email. Quit whining. That's what I usually tell myself. You stated how you feel. It's irrelevant, Corinne. It's like so much, like this is the easy part of my job. Like I can like show up on a Zoom call. Like if I could just Zoom all the time, I'd just be like, I'd never have a problem overriding my wants and desires. But half of my job is like proofreading and like organizing files, cleaning out videos that we don't need, like watching an old video of me going, oh my God, I said that and delete. I mean, not fun work, but my purpose allows me to do that work when I don't want to. But in the moment when I don't want to, I am prepared with a truth. Like it doesn't matter. No matter if you don't want to right now, it's on the plan. Or I'll tell myself, look, just get started. You'll feel better when it's over. I'll use a hack like, can I just do 12 minutes? Can I just do the first part? And if I still don't want to be doing it after that, then take a break. But I use those tactics to get me in motion only because at the end of the day, I know that like my wants and desires in the moment are a very unimportant part of all of it. They're just nice to have when they're on tap.
Okay, so purpose. So why am I doing all this stuff would be helpful for me to know.
Like, tell me something that you blow off routinely.
Routinely? Besides my housekeeping stuff? Well, I have to make a phone call. I have to try to get money back from our airline tickets that I already paid for Europe this summer. They won't give me the money. They want to give me a credit. I want the money. So I got to make another phone call I don't feel like waiting on hold, and I don't feel like doing the confrontation. So I keep putting that off.
The confrontation.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like if you do a thought download on, does it have to be confronting? Or can you just be super insistent?
I could. I try to be nice, but they don't do what I say. So I feel like it gets confrontational.
Okay. Yeah, but that's not helping you.
Right.
Like, it's just like, if you keep describing the phone call as, well, I've got to do this. I don't know why I don't want to do this confrontational phone call.
Right.
Like if you need to want to be able to do it, then you need to neutralize the concept. Like, you're going to like try to like argue with me and they're like, no, they're not going to do what I want to say and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, your conversation that you have decided ahead of time as to how it's going to go is preventing you from actually trying to get your money back.
Yes.
You are making the decision for them. Like, you know what? Y'all don't have to tell me no. I'm going to tell my no every day and have a cookie while I'm at it.
Yes.
So it's like, why don't you just decide? I don't know what the fuck's going to happen. Here's what I do know. I'm going to ask for that money back. Today, I'm going to call and I'm going to get the money back. You could just as easily believe that you're going to call, get your money back, as you can believe that you're going to call, have a rough time, it suck butt, and you have to argue with them to get your money back. Either way, you're going to be making the phone call. One way just allows you to not go through a torture tank before you get there.
Okay.
And then so what if you have to argue? At least all the way up to it, you had the momentum to make the call.
No, you're right, because it's probably the exact words that are exchanged are going to be exactly the same no matter what my mindset is going into it. Like, I'm going to say hello, and I'm going to say the situation. It's going to be exactly the same no matter if
you're
I
gonna
have...
You're going to present all of it to them, and then they're going to say what they need to say, and then you're just going to be very insistent. Like, I don't think you heard me. I'm getting my money back. Oh, wait. Let me tell you one more time. I really need to get my money back. I don't eat cookies over this anymore. Catch them off guard.
Okay.
I would for sure add that part. Like, just sound like a crazy person. So like, look, I don't eat cookies over this. I need to do it.
I'll do that. I'll call them tomorrow and I'll do that.
But yeah, it's like for you, it's like really, I think for you, it's just accepting. Like, I'm going to plan realistically. And then I am not taking any more shit off myself. And so in the moment when I don't want to, I like, this is for all of you when it comes to food and planning and time and all these things that you feel so entitled that I have, like sex. Well, I don't want to in the moment. Nobody cares about your level of want. You shouldn't either. So it's like in the moment when I have that conversation, I don't want to. What else am I going to tell myself? You guys dead stop there like, well, I keep having this thought, Corinne. It's like, yeah, and you will for like the next 30 years, but you got to have the, and it doesn't matter. And I'm going to anyway. And I'm learning how to do things that I don't want to do. But can I just, like, there's an addendum to the I don't want to that has to be had. Otherwise, you never rewire your programming. You just keep being frustrated that the thought keeps coming back with no effort from you to change it.
Yeah, totally. I think that's what I've been doing. I've just been thinking that same thought all the time. I don't have time to do this. I'll never get it done. I'm so overwhelmed and I never bother to go the next step.
Yeah, I would just be like, I don't have the time to do this. Okay, so if you know that's going to come up, I don't have the time to do this. It's such a lie I tell myself. I've been blowing shit off for 3 weeks. I obviously have time. Like, that would be super easy to tell yourself, right?
Yeah.
Say, like, I know it. Like, I don't have time to do this. It's crap. I have time to do this much. That's, like, the real story. I have the time to do this. Or I don't have the time to do this. Oh, wait. This is when I really just don't want to do it. That's the real truth here. Like, all of those conversations are the important things to be having with yourself in the moment. And you have to, like, this is why I'm glad you journal and stuff and you make plans, because you're going to need to plan for your drama. Like, here's everything that I normally think in a week. Like, these are the things that I noticed this week when I wasn't doing things. It's because I just allowed this conversation to go. So this next week, I'd script every one of them out. when I think this, the truth is, like, I have to have the other part of the conversation. And if you forget in the moment, like, let's say, like, you catch yourself eating a cookie because you said you didn't want to do something. You remind yourself in that moment, like, oh, yeah, the next time that I don't want to do something, I need to remember this part. Otherwise, if you go to this part, which is what most of you do, oh, my God, I'm never going to be able to think no stuff. I don't know what's wrong with me. And then you just keep eating cookies. We don't need to develop the habit of the berating. What we want to do is just remind ourselves of what, keep reminding yourself what's supposed to happen, what's supposed to happen.
Okay.
I see productivity in your future this week, Jillian.
Okay, good. I'm going to call the airline tomorrow. We'll see what they say.
Yes. And I want you to go into it thinking it's not going to be confrontational. I'm just going to be insistent. I'll say it as many times as I need to say it before they understand. Because I promise you, whoever's sitting on the other side of that phone, probably showing up for work tomorrow, going, I hope I don't have to be confrontational all day long.
I know.
That person probably wants you to have your money back really bad because they're probably sick and tired of telling people no. So if you just understand that that person is not out to get you, that this is just, this is like, if I really want the money back, that's on me to make it really clear in my case that that's what's going to happen. That's it.
All right.
Okay. Good luck.
I can do that.
Somebody said ask for a supervisor and keep asking for supervisors until you get one.
Okay, good. Thank you.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
All right. Let's see some questions real quick. What time is it? Okay. Yeah. I'm just finishing the relationship course. I need help with a model about my husband's attitude. Can I ask here or wait for a different coaching call? We actually have a relationship call coming up. Kathy, do you know when that is? Can you put it in the comments? That would be a great call. This one is just on the time stuff. So I want to kind of stay there. Can you possibly discuss how the 8-hour work, 8-hour sleep, 8-hour other time? I have two similar smaller kids and I want to spend time with them. And that tends to leave me feeling like no time. Thoughts on how to be flexible with little kids. I don't really understand what you're asking. So there's, you sleep 8 hours a day and then you're going to be working 8 hours a day. So you actually have this extra, like if you think about it, there's 24 hours in a day. So let's say you sleep, let's say you go to bed at 10, what would be 8 hours, y'all? 11, 12, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. You get up at 6 a.m. and you go to work at 8 a.m. You have from 6 to 8 a.m. You've got 2 hours of time right there. Then you work your 8 hours and then you got another swing of time. All of that time is being spent, whether or not you decide to account for it or you don't decide to account for it. And I think that's really important. A lot of times we just need clarity and understanding, like, I have these windows. I have these windows. A lot of us sit around in our windows where we actually have time to plan and schedule things, thinking we have no time. Like, we spend a lot of time thinking we have no time. Or what we do is we spend a lot of time when, like, when you're with your children, thinking you should be working. And when you're working, thinking you should be with your children. And you never take advantage of feeling the full capacity and the full, like just taking advantage of the productivity and what you're actually doing. You're splitting your attention so many different ways that you really don't feel like you have time because you don't get the benefit of treasuring the time that you had really focused and productive. So I think, like, if you've got little kids, you know, one of the things that I would do is make sure that when you're with them, you're actually with them. Like, you're not thinking you should be somewhere else. Like, one of the biggest time wasters, one of the things that makes us feel like we don't have time is, like, being with our children and thinking we should be more productive. We should have been doing the dishes. We should be doing this. We should have called our mother. We should have done this at work. We're, like, spending so much time thinking, like, our brains are spending the time with our kids elsewhere. If you double down, because this is the thing, most of you don't need to spend actually more time with your children. You need to make sure that the time that you're spending with your children is valuable. And that's the other lesson that I try to teach a lot of people all the time when it comes to time, is that your time is very valuable. spend it like it's valuable. It's the only thing, like, you can make more kids. Well, not more kids. You can make more money. You can make more of a lot of things. The one thing that we never get back is time. Once it's spent, it's just spent. So if you're going to be like at your job, don't be sitting at your job thinking you should be doing something else. Remind yourself, this is exactly where I am. And I'm going to spend this time very valuably. Like, I am not going to spend my time thinking I should be doing a better job. I'm going to spend my time acknowledging the job that I'm doing. I'm going to use all of those times when I'm beating myself up at work, rather than thinking there's never going to be enough time. I spend all that time reminding myself I can get so much done in this time. What all can I get done in this time? A lot of you, and we heard this in the last call, will say things like, you know, there's not enough time to get things done, rather than asking yourself, what all can I get done in this time? You have the same amount of time, whether or not you want to fret over it, worry about it, and overwhelm in it, or if you want to be trying to figure out a way to get shit done during the time. Time will spend no matter what you do. Are you familiar with the Pomodoro method? Yes. Work in 25 increments and then take a 5-minute break. Repeat that 4 times and then take a 30-minute break. What are your thoughts on this? I think it's great, Lori. I've used it in the past. I actually do bigger chunks now. So a lot of people start with 25 minutes. For me, I do about, I can do about 55 minutes to an hour of really solid, good, uninterrupted work. And then I take a break. Chris is the same way. Chris and I both work for about, I think he does 53 minutes and then he takes a 7-minute break. Like, Chris is very dialed on his time. He has timers that go off all day long. I hear his, you know, alarm going off all the time. He sets it to where, like, every 53 minutes, he takes a break for 7. Like, you'll see him go to the bathroom. You'll see him go downstairs and get water. You'll see him pop. Like, if he ever pops into my office, that's when he does it. And then he gets back to work. And he stays in that steady stream all day long. Talk about breaking the screen habit. The best thing for breaking your screen habit, guys, is literally start small. If you're used to using your phone all the time, find one time a day where you are going to set it in another room. So, like, for me, my phone, if I know that I've got something to do during the day, I will close out all my apps on my computer and I will actually take my phone and I will charge it downstairs. So that if I want to use my phone, I have to go all the way downstairs to use it. Chris, like, he keeps his phone in the closet charging. Like, once he comes to bed at night, he takes his phone, he puts it away, and then it's not even accessible anymore. So part of just breaking the screen habit is doing that. One of the things that a lot of people do, like, if you are used to, like, chilling out on your phone with apps, you can also delete your Facebook off your phone. So that you have to be, like, on a laptop in order to use it. So some people, with when it comes to social media, will take apps off their phone, and, like, the only way they can do it is if they have to get on their computer. Another hack that a lot of people do is if you take your apps on your home, like, my home screen is not full of apps, is to group them. So you put all the social media, like, in a folder on, like, the third screen. So that you have to go all the way there. It makes it harder for you to get to it. And what it does is it gives you enough pause to have to think, oh, am I supposed to be checking social media right now? Am I supposed to be doing whatever? You can move your apps all over your phone. One of the things that I tell my team that I tell them all the time, it drives me crazy, ask Kathy, turn off notifications. I only have one notification that pops up on my phone, and it's because I haven't been able to figure out how to turn the son of a bitch off, and that is Scrabble. I downloaded Scrabble 2 weeks ago, and I am getting Scrabble notifications like crazy. Everybody's starting games with me all the time, and the only reason I turned on notifications was because I couldn't figure out how to know when Chris made his move if I was on the – like, they would give you these bonuses, and you'd get off in, like, bonus land in the middle of your hand. And the next thing I knew, I couldn't get back to the game. So I turned on the notifications. It's the only way I knew how to get back to the game. And now I get Scrabble notifications like crazy, but that's the only ones I get. And I get text messages, but I don't have very many people that text me. That's it. I don't get Facebook. I don't get Slack. I don't get Instagram. I don't get any other, no news channels. It's just nobody that fucking important. I don't get my Marco Polo. You know how I know when somebody wants me? I pick up my phone, I open the app, and I'll see. I save so much time that way. And I will tell you, the nice thing about doing it that way is that when you're with your loved ones, everybody knows when your fucking phone lights up. It's total distraction. If I'm having a conversation with you and your phone looks up and I notice you're like this, it's like a small diss. It's rude. Rude. Just, we're all gonna believe it's rude. But I want you to think about it. How many times has your phone lit up for like the news station or some other bullshit app you've got running right now that's giving you notifications? Your kid's been trying to tell you about their day. Your husband's wanting to talk to you because he hadn't seen you today. And you're like this. It's not worth it. Now, if you don't want to do all that and it's not a problem, great. But I will just tell you, when you ask me, if you are distracted by this guy, if this phone is a cause of concern in your relationships, if you know that you're on it more than you need to be, I highly recommend making it harder for you to ever get to the things that you want. Set it up to where it's like harder to get to the things you want. Like with mine, like I do use my phone. I'm not going to pretend that I don't. And it's usually around, but I do turn off notifications. I do put it away. When I go out on date night, phone goes like this. The only reason why I keep my phone with me on a date night is because sometimes Logan will text me or his daddy. I can't count on him to, like, if I take my phone and Chris doesn't, Logan might forget. And I'm not leaving my baby at home and him be texting the wrong person if he needs something. So I keep it for that reason. But I'm really good about making sure that I'm setting it to the side. That's a conscious decision. And it's not easy. Like, and I can tell you how many times, like when I go out, like my girlfriend Jane and I, when we go to on girls trips and stuff, you know, sometimes we'll catch each other. Like we'll be in the same room. We haven't seen each other in a while. And we're both like, just like zoning out or doing something. And I'll be like, oh, and I will put my phone down. And I don't ask her to put her phone down. But I'm like, I'm not going to ask somebody to put their phone down unless I'm willing to do it. And I do that very often. When I catch myself doing it, I just remind myself to put it down. It's an urge just like anything else. And it's even a little bit more addicting. Because a lot of us don't see the unintended consequences of using it so much. So anyway, it was a good question. But those are just some of the things that I would do. And that's some of my thoughts. They're not like, if you don't agree with me, don't agree with me on that one. But that's just some of my things. It's like, I think I'm a little... I don't want to call it sensitive to it, but part of the reason why I speak so well to it is that I do have a social media type business. You know, you guys are all in the Facebook group and stuff, and I have spent a lot of my time being too carried away with checking on things. And I have watched my son and heard my son many a time notice that this is more important than what he's saying in the moment. And the way he knows it's more important is because I'm not making him the most important. And that has helped me really think about working on my behavior around my phone and that distraction. And I will tell you, it has saved me tons of time too. I didn't realize how much time I was spending on it. There's also a weekly report your phone will give you. So if you want to measure yourself, you can look at how much screen time you're having. I watch mine. The only thing that hoses me is I was doing really good until all in April. And then every day going Facebook Live with you guys jacked my flow on my reports. I was like, The first week I was like, oh my God, was I just on my phone the whole time? And then I realized like, oh yeah, I forgot all those Facebook Lives and uploading video. So there you go. All right. Let's do one more person. Does anybody else want to get coached at all? I'll do one more. If not, we'll just get out of here. Or if anybody else has a question. All right, Emily, you're up.
Sorry, I was muted.
Oh, you're okay. What you
can
got?
Can you hear me?
Yeah. There you are.
Sorry, can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I can hear you.
I'm having some technical difficulties here. Give me just a second.
It's okay. It's okay if we just see your picture too. Doesn't matter. I can hear you just fine. Can you hear me?
With the Zoom. It's fine.
Right? So what you need?
Okay. So I wanted to get a little bit of coaching on some thoughts I'm having about cleaning up around the house.
Okay.
I know earlier in the call, you were talking about like the negative thoughts and beating yourself up, and that's preventing you from doing the things. But I feel like, if I don't beat myself up, like if I don't shit all over myself and say like, you're such a mess, you're such a slob, like blah, blah, blah. Like I'm not going to do it. Like I'm just going to lay there and keep watching TV or keep resting, whatever it is I'm doing.
So there's no way that you could like, so let me ask you this. When you're beating yourself up, I'm such a slob, I'm so all the things, you're such a mess. Do you immediately jump up and be like, time to clean?
No.
So that's not working.
No, it's not working.
Are you kind of laying around like a slob, like going, yeah, I'm right. I am a mess. Where's that Netflix?
Something like that. Yeah. It's usually more like just going deeper into the hole of bad self-talk, negative self-talk. Okay. It's just like, yeah, you're right, Emily. You are a slob. You suck.
So let's just stop with this faux story that somehow you would become a sloth if you didn't beat yourself up. Like, it's okay. Just not true, right?
Okay.
Because right now, beating yourself up seems to be having a negative consequence.
Right.
Okay. Now, if you were to tell me, oh my gosh, I tell myself every morning first thing, what a slob I am, what a hot mess and everything, and then I go about the day and I totally clean my house and my whole life is perfect, mm-hmm. I'd be like, well, okay, maybe.
That'd be pretty crazy.
Right. It never works that way. We always think that somehow beating ourselves up is the only reason why we do it is because it's the only way we've ever known. We mistakenly think this is probably what's happened. There was a time in your life, probably like 3 years ago on a Saturday, where you had spent the whole week sick and tired of your house being a sloppy mess and everything. Mm-hmm. And then you decided to clean. And yeah. Your brain made a connection of like, oh, yeah, it was all that beat down you did. That's why we cleaned the house. Not really. The thought that got your ass up to clean the house was like, I should probably do this.
Yeah.
It was a boring thought that got underneath your radar that was not self-loathing and all this other stuff. At some point, you're just like, I'm tired of looking at this mess. I should probably clean it up.
Mm-hmm.
And that worked.
Yeah.
It wasn't all the berating. So let me ask you this. If you were to sit around and look at your house and you were just like, I really deserve better. Like, I think I would enjoy if things were put away. And like, you literally spent 3 days daydreaming and thinking about how great life would be and how amazing you would feel. And you're like, you know, I really do deserve that kind of life. That would be pretty good. And I honestly, maybe cleaning wouldn't be that bad if I just started with something small. And like you spent 3 days doing that. What do you think would happen on day four?
I'd probably start cleaning. I'd start feeling a lot better about it. And in the process, I wouldn't be shaming myself.
Yeah. most of us don't realize that if we're going to clean our house or lose weight or whatever, at some point you're probably going to do something. And the decision to do it will always be because, like, it will be a very benign thought. It's time. Or, like, you know how y'all always think, like, I just don't want to. It just keeps coming back. Oh, my God. Well, at some point, here's the other thought. I just want to clean today. Very boring. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
But we have to, like, set the tone to want. And to set the tone for that thought to ever come up is not through berating yourself. You'll never want to do it if you just agree with yourself that you're a slob all the time.
Right. Yeah, that's no way to live.
Yeah, and there's probably not going to be a day where you're just going to be like, hell yeah, I've talked so nice to myself. Now I just want to clean. Like, I'm excited about it. But there will be a day where you've talked nice to yourself and you've thought about the benefits of it being clean versus just what a fuck up you are. And you, like, make a plan of, like, well, I could just start with this.
Yeah.
Try that out. Like, if you really thought about it that way, there will be a day that you'll just, like, I think I'm going to try it. That will be the moment that you want to do it. But, like, I think a lot of you think that you're going to have this day where you're going to wake up all the time with this incredible desire and passion to do things. Those moments are so fleeting in life. Mm. And our brain does that on purpose. We can't set our whole life up to be full of passionate exuberance. We would wear ourselves out. The majority of life is just going through life and doing things because we know why we want to do them.
Wow.
And right now you're going through life and doing things because you know why you don't want to do them. And I want you to switch it over to why you do want it.
Okay. I can do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So no more.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Bye. All right. Bye.
That's a good quickie. I was glad somebody asked about organization. I was very prepared for all of it. All right, guys. It was so fun. I love coaching on time and stuff. Y'all have a good one. I will see. What is today? Thursday? I swear to God, I never know what day it is anymore. I will see you guys on Saturday morning for our first Q&A where we will officially, I think I'll be sitting outside. It's going to be like 83 degrees. Maybe I'll even sit by the pool. We'll see. It'll be 9 a.m. But I will see you then. You guys have a good one. Bye, y'all.